Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Peakman, and I'm joined by my intangible co-host, Tempest. Hi, bud.
Hi. It's COVID Tempest now.
It's COVID Tempest. That is your new name.
Yeah. I would say, I watched Loki. I enjoyed that show. Every time that there's a slightly new gimmick, I'm just like, oh, that's my different variant. But I don't like using that word to describe this one.
Nope. It's bad. Let's stay away from that. But it's good. You made it home. That's good. That's step one, you know?
Yeah.
That's always positive. Yeah.
I had a very long day of travel and everything yesterday, so I was pretty much spent by the time SmackDown started, and then I watched it. And I don't know what was the worst part of my week. Whether it was the life-threatening virus or if it was this show, but we'll get to it.
I didn't hate it this week. I thought SmackDown was okay.
All right, we'll disagree on things.
I'm sure we'll disagree. But anyway, aside from all the terribleness that's been going on, you got any more plans to do anything? No.
I'm stuck in this room. Stuck in this room, and I have nothing to do anyway because the entire province here is beginning its lockdown again because we still can't figure this thing out 2 years later. I'm so tired. I'm over it. I'm done. I don't want to anymore. Yeah. I just wanted to be able to go to a hockey game, and I couldn't. They had to play the game with no fans.
Yep.
Yeah, no plans. I have no plans ever again, it seems.
Okay. Yeah. What are you going to get up to then, Tempest? What are you going to do while you're stuck in that room? What are you going to be doing with your life, you know?
Probably watching wrestling. Gotta be real. I mean, it's me. Hey, what else am I going to do? But no, also, I made a brilliant discovery over the last week
that
greatly improved my mood. I doubt that you've ever heard of this game, but there's an old arcade machine called Mappy. And I love Mappy. It's like the one arcade game that I've ever been good at. It's like, it's by Namco, the same people that do Pac-Man and all that kind of stuff. And I made the discovery this past week that you can buy Mappy on the Nintendo Switch store.
Ooh.
And I have been playing a lot of Mappy the last week. And genuinely, it has improved my mood quite a bit. So I'll probably play a lot more Mappy this weekend.
Nice.
That's a fun little game.
What do you do in Mappy? What's the purpose? How does it work?
So in Mappy, you're a little mouse cop You're a police officer.
Okay.
All right. And you're a little mouse. And you're chasing after a bunch of cat burglars.
Mmm.
Aha. And then you got like a little stage. It's probably like three platforms wide.
Mm-hmm.
And there's little trampolines at the bottom, right, between each of the platforms. And these platforms are then stacked up probably about five high. And there's like a bunch of stolen goods spread out across this level, right? And so you got like a TV over here. You got a safe. You got a painting. You got a radio or something. You know, there's like five, maybe six doubled. So there's two of six different things, I think.
Okay.
You got to go around the level and pick up all the stolen goods while the cats chase you and try and kill you, right? But there's also like ways that you can get more points. Like if you open a door, it'll open like a shock wave that'll take all of the cats away if it's on the same little tier as them, and you get more points that way. But of course, the further you get into the game, the faster the cats are chasing you, the more cats that they add to the game, the harder the level is to navigate, because there will be like dead ends and things that you can go one way, but you can't cross back over and stuff like that. It's really, really fun. It's the only arcade game that I'm actually good at. Like, we had a little, not an arcade, but it's kind of like a Dave and Buster's kind of thing. You know, like an adult Chuck E. Cheese sort of thing here in Toronto.
Gotcha.
And at one point, I figured out that they had, like, a Mappy machine. They had a stand-up Pac-Man thing with, like, five or six games. It probably had, like, Galaga and stuff on it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked, and I saw that it had Mappy, and I'm like, hang on, everybody. I gotta do a thing. And I sat there, and, like, 20 minutes later, I was like, all right, got the high score. I'm good to go. Like, instantly, you know? Like, first or second try, I was just like, boom, done. All right, I'm happy. I put my little initials in there, and I can leave. But it's the one game that I'm good at. And every time that I've been playing this game on my Switch, I'm just like, I got to beat my own high score. And now it's in my head, and it's what I see when I go to sleep. I hear the music all the time. My life is Mappy now.
Amazing. What a great time. But something that is maybe, it's not as good as Mappy. Let's be real. I was going to say something that's maybe as good as Mappy. It's not. Is this whole WWE and Impact crossover that's happening? Hot damn. Mickie James, the current Knockouts World Champion, is in the Royal Rumble this year. That's wild. We're going to talk about all the things that happened on this show. Leading with that, let's talk about it. Impact Wrestling to WWE. Confirm what working relationship, what the hell is going on with wrestling these days? Welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast review of SmackDown and Rampage. I am Chopper Picoel. I'm joined by my intangible co-host Tempest, and get any old chats at wrestletalk.com/support, because I've seen a lot of people have a lot of opinions about this announcement on SmackDown, which we'll talk about now. Get this in at wrestletalk.com/support. Which was a segment with Charlotte Flair, who came out to the ring on SmackDown and said that she was going to enter herself into the Rumble so she can handpick her opponent for WrestleMania. And I'm sure that's got nothing to do with any of her challenges leaving the company. But she also threw to a video package that then announced 18 of the competitors in the 30 women Royal Rumble match. So 18 out of 30 have now been revealed. I'll go through them all in order, and then we'll talk about one of them in particular. So we got announced in this little video package: Rhea Ripley, Nikki A.S.H., the Bella Twins coming back, both of them, Shotzi, Natalia, Michelle McCool, Dana Brooke, Carmella, Queen Zelina, current Impact Knockouts World Champion Mickie James.
What?
We'll go through the rest of them. Tamina, Kelly Kelly, Aaliyah, Summer Rae, Naomi, Shayna Baszler, and Lita.
Yeah.
So those were all the people. Lita's great. So those were all the people that got announced to be part of the Women's Royal Rumble match for this year. And Mickie James being announced is not necessarily a huge deal. It is a bit because she currently works for another promotion and stuff. The thing that really got me is that not only is she the current Impact Knockouts World Champion as of right now, because she's defending the belt today later against Deonna Purrazzo, but the fact that WWE actually mentioned that on commentary, they were like, current Impact Knockouts World Champion, Mickie James, wow. And then on social media, they were like, current Impact Knockouts World Champion, Mickie James, will be part of the Royal Rumble. And everyone's like, you're acknowledging another company? Who are you? What happened to WWE not acknowledging that this company existed for 2 decades? Like, what the hell's going on? So now people have come to light that WWE have made a deal with Impact and Mickie James. She'll be appearing as part of the Rumble. What the hell's going on, Tempest? What do you make of this whole thing?
I don't know. So, I mean, there's a lot of thoughts. Obviously, this is all being done because WWE got to January and went, whoops, we fired our entire women's roster. What to do? I guess we can't put, like, Amari Miller in the Royal Rumble, because I don't think that'll be a big pop for an entrance. But I don't know. I don't see this as like the start of some big partnership. I don't think that's going to happen. I would not be surprised if Mickie James loses the Impact Knockouts title today and then they never mention Impact again. They'll never mention that again. She won't be on WWE TV. She'll just be in the Royal Rumble. They'll be like, hey, it's Mickie James. She'll get thrown out in a couple minutes and then that'll be it. They'll never mention Impact again. I would not be surprised about that whatsoever. If I'm wrong, and this is like, if they start doing some crossover stuff, I would be like totally mind blown, because that's so the opposite of what we've come to expect from WWE really ever, but certainly as of late. And I don't know, I could see more people from Impact showing up. I could also not. I think it's going to be, and this, again, is my feelings clashing with how WWE does business, but how much would it be, like, totally unexpected and awesome if you got people like Jordynne Grace and Deonna Purrazzo showing up? Like, yes. That would blow my mind. That would be the coolest thing ever. But I don't expect that to happen whatsoever. I could see, like, I don't know, the Inspiration showing up, the former Iconics, like, if Peyton Roy showed up in the Royal Rumble, I wouldn't be that surprised. I don't know that any of that's going to happen, but you know what I mean? Like, they will care about the former WWE people, and that will be like, ooh, it's freaking Kevin Dunn in the back being like, no one will ever remember Jack Briscoe. He didn't work here, you know, stuff like that. But it's like, yeah, I don't think that the WWE's brass would look at Jordynne Grace or Deonna Purrazzo and be like, no one would ever know who they are. I'm still surprised that AJ Styles showed up in the Royal Rumble and they treated him like people knew who he was. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think there's a lot of different ways that WWE could do this. I expect Mickie James to I expect the Impact references to kind of go away after a little bit. But I know why this is happening. It's because they're desperate and they have no one to fill the Royal Rumble this year. So they did this, and it's really different. It's really different. I don't even know if I'd say cautiously optimistic. Words are hard.
Some words in there somewhere.
Yeah. Cautiously optimistic, you know, but it's something different. It's something that's neat for this year. And at least we get something to talk about on a podcast. So it's cool.
Yeah, that's true. As a grand total, by the way, for anyone that's keeping count, a grand total of currently active women that WWE have across Raw and SmackDown, including champions, is 21 women total. So they don't have enough by 9 to fill out a Rumble at all. And that's including the champions and stuff like that. So, and not including people that are already in another match. Like, you know, Beth Phoenix is listed as a currently active woman, but she's going to be busy, you know? So there's all of that. There's also the other side of this that I've seen people talking about is, of course, the manner in which Mickie James was released from WWE, because there was an incident that blew up on social media, particularly where her belongings were sent to her in a trash bag, which is not very nice. And obviously the person that was responsible for that reportedly has now been let go from WWE, and she's received apologies from higher ups in WWE, according to her. So I've seen Mark a lot Carano of people being like, yeah, Mark Carano, basically. So I've seen a lot of people being like, after everything that they put her through, why is she gone back? I don't blame her at all for going back for this. One, because it's a Royal Rumble. Two, because the person who's responsible has now been let go, and she's received an apology from the company. I think they're still probably on decently good terms, is what I would say. So I'm not super surprised about Mickie James going back, because she is still very much a very well-known name in WWE circles. You know, she's like a Hall of Fame level talent that they have. So I don't think it's all that surprising that they wanted to get her back for the Rumble. It's a big name to be like, more people in the Rumble, you know? That'd be my perspective anyway.
Yeah, my perspective, like I have my angry wrestling fan thoughts, and then I have like my rational brain thoughts, mm-hmm. where it's like, well, this is a business. And it, yeah. I would not imagine that WWE goes directly to Mickie James in a situation like this. They probably call up Impact and say, hey, we want the former WWE people. Let's make this happen. And then Mickie James probably doesn't want to rock the boat with WWE and Impact, or with Impact in general, because that's where she's working now, mm-hmm. you know? So she'll do whatever. I'm sure if she objected to it, she wouldn't do it. But yeah. at the same time, I think this is a situation where you can just go and have a payday, and that'll be it. It is a business. Yeah. That's fine. At the same time, this is the angry wrestling fan part of my brain speaking, and I'll let mm-hmm. this out before getting back to the rational brain. I'm tired of WWE treating people like garbage and them going back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like we're getting to a point where it's happened to enough people, especially over the last few years, like 180 people have been fired or something like that. Something crazy. I would like it if at some point some of those people, and I'm sure they do, but I would like when this sort of thing happens for them to be no F you, you know? And again, that's the not rational part of my brain, because again, this is a business. Mm-hmm. This is a business, and I understand that. I would just like the person who is kicked in the ass on the way out the door to kick them in the ass back one time. But again, yeah. what can you do? It's a business, and I understand that, and it's fine. You know, it's fine, but I don't think we're going to see, like, Maria Kanellis in the Royal Rumble or anything.
No.
You know what I mean?
No. So. I'd be very surprised if that does happen.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought it was all cool. You know, again, yeah. it's a business. And yeah. it's the same reason that, like, I don't let myself get super upset when, like, Kevin Owens re-signs with WWE. Right? Mm. You know? Because it's like, it's a business. And I understand that. You know? But the actual human part of my brain that also thinks that Walmart and Amazon are terrible places wants the big evil corporation to get theirs. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Just quickly about the rest of the segment, about this little video package as a whole, we might as well talk about the rest of it now. We've spoken about the Mickey bit in particular. But this reveal of all the other people. So now we know 18 out of the 30 competitors, including 7 that would have been surprise returns, right?
Because
mm-hmm. you got both the Bella Twins, Michelle McCool, obviously Mickie James, Kelly Kelly, Summer Rae, Lita. So there's a lot of people that would have been surprises in the Rumble. Now, I understand announcing Mickie James ahead of time, because that's something that's going to generate buzz. That's, I mean, a lot of people are talking about. We're talking about it right now, you know? That's something that gets people going, oh, that's really interesting. I'm going to tune into the Rumble to see what happens, kind of thing. I personally do not understand announcing the rest of these surprise returns, because then they're not surprise returns. That's sort of the point of a Rumble. That's like the actual draw, because the actual match itself of the Rumble is really, when you break it down, not that exciting. It's a bunch of people going, and then they kind of like hold each other for a bit over the rope, and then someone's just kind of like lying down for a bit, and people self-rage. It's not actually that exciting. What the appeal of a Rumble is, you get the countdown, you get the I don't know who's coming out next, and the and then the music hits, you go, it's this person, yay, and then it gets down to the end, and there's big, you know, implications for WrestleMania. That's the appeal of the Royal Rumble. So I feel like announcing this many surprise returns ahead of time just defeats the point, right? And I know there's a lot of slots left. There's still 12 people that we don't know are going to be in the Rumble. I don't think all of them are going to be surprises, but it's just, why announce any of them? You know, I understand Mickey ahead of time. You've got the whole Impact thing. Everyone else, just why you got to do that? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird because I think it greatly detracts from what you're trying to do here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think remotely the same number of people give a damn when Michelle McCool comes out now.
Yeah.
As like, at least if it was a surprise, you seem to be like, oh, it's Michelle McCool. That's interesting. But everybody knows it's coming now. And Michelle McCool's going to come out and they'll probably be like, yeah, it's Michelle McCool. We knew this was coming. You know, yep. WWE just has such a desire to spoil the Royal Rumble for themselves. Like, you remember last year when they were like, we're going to reveal who the number 30 entrant in the men's Royal Rumble is. And everyone was like, no,
please don't.
That please do not do that. We do not want that. But they're like, oh, no, okay, fine. We'll spoil it in the women's Royal Rumble. And everyone went, well, fine.
Right.
I guess. Like, whatever. But, like, I don't know. They don't seem to get the idea of the Royal Rumble, which is weird because it's, like, their greatest creation. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Sure is.
I would have kept all of these a secret, really. I mean, 100%. Again, the Impact one, I understand. If more Impact people are in the Royal Rumble, I think, you know, this is like, oh, you whet the appetite a little bit, and then there's more, and those ones can be the surprises. But if they go out next week and there's like, and Peyton Royce and Billy Kay and whoever and whoever and whoever, then I'll be like, well, there goes that idea. But again, I'll wait and see.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll let it play out, right, Tempest? That's what we do quite often. We always let it play out.
I don't mind that.
No, I don't want to either. But it definitely got us talking, so that's a good part of it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
But let's see what you guys think. Send in your Ultra Chats to wrestletalk.com/support if you have any thoughts and feelings about anything to do with all of this, any of the women's stuff, any of the SmackDown or Rampage, and we'll read all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. Ten Ruzza says, WWE could just do a rumble of all the released talent. This will be a... this will
you do a bunch of rumbles with the released talent.
No, they sure could. This will be a one and done for Mickey, but will be trippy to see the title on the Rumble. I don't think that we will. Even if she's still the champion, she won't come out with it.
Nope.
I don't think so. Also, a surprise entrance, not a thing anymore. Tempest, how did you enjoy the musicless New Japan versus Noah show?
I'll be honest, I have not seen anything New Japan this week. Mm-hmm. I've been quarantining. I watched 9 Pixar movies on Tuesday.
Wait, just on Tuesday?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I was otherwise occupied.
Right. Important question, Tempest. Which ones?
Watched Incredibles 1, Incredibles 2.
Nice.
Monsters, Inc., Monster University, mm-hmm. Toy Story 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then what was the last one? There was one more at the end, because I know I watched Encanto, but I don't think that's mm-hmm. Pixar. I think that's regular Disney, although I could be wrong. Encanto might have been the last one. Is Encanto Pixar? Chat, help me. Is Encanto Pixar?
I'm looking it up. Encanto, blah, 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 blah.
I think it's just Disney. Interesting.
Yep, just Disney.
What was the last one that I watched? I don't know. And believe me, that was a very lovely way to spend the day.
Mm.
Like, it was just easy. You just keep putting on Pixar movies. Like, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But if I think about the last one, I'll get back around to it, because I know I watched 9. Wall-E. That was the last one.
Wall-E. I was going to keep reading Ultra Chats and then just come back with different Pixar suggestions.
Aerodactyl.
Literally. Oh, man. All right. Matthew Robinson said, wow, where will they put Roman Reigns versus Brock match, since both have a match at the Royal Rumble? I'm waiting for WWE to come up with another Saudi show to do this before the Rumble so we can kill all build up to the Rumble. Never underestimate WWE. Well, there's reports that the next Saudi show is going to be on February 19th. So it would be after the Rumble. And that's where I think they might have Lesnar Reigns, or maybe they might save it till Mania. I don't know. They probably care more about the Saudi show. So,
yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Also, Encanto is not Pixar. It's from the people who did Coco and Frozen. Coco is Pixar.
Coco is Pixar. Yeah.
Just wanted to point that out.
Yeah. And Coco is a fantastic movie. My God, Coco is so good. That movie makes me cry every time. Every time.
El Santo.
God damn it, it's good. Yeah, El Santo makes a cameo.
It's
so
basically
cool.
A wrestling movie.
Colby Dennis said, at this point, WWE would benefit from dropping the brand split and just having the WWE title, Intercontinental Tag, and women's matches would feel more credible with the talent spread out over 5 hours on TV.
I mean, in theory, you're correct. In theory, communism works. And I don't think, yes, having less titles would make the other titles feel more credible. But I also don't think that they would ever just stop beating the number one contenders for these titles, as we saw on this show. We'll get to it.
Yep, we'll get to that. We've got one here from Brushborn that says, do you think WWE adding Mickie James into this year's Royal Rumble is their way of apologizing for the way she was released? Or is it because WWE has starved themselves of strong female talent due to all the releases last year? Feel better soon, Tempest. I think it's the latter.
I very much think it's the latter. If they had a full roster, there's no way this happens.
Yeah. And also, I think they've already apologized to her privately. And I think that's all the apologizing they feel like they need to do. So they've done that, and this is just because she's Mickie James and she's known to a WWE audience, so they wanted to get her because they didn't have many people that they could call upon. For now, let's talk about the rest of SmackDown, and then we'll get into talking about Rampage afterwards. This episode of SmackDown kicked off with the return of Roman Reigns after he obviously missed day one Came back in after a recap of Lesnar and Heyman from Raw in the day one stuff. Pat McAfee was on one tonight.
He sure was. He sure was. I was about to say this. He completely jumped the shark with me today.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Oh my God. He like killed Michael Cole a couple times. Mm. Michael Cole was like, what are you talking about?
Please stop. Yeah.
Like,
it's it was like, as soon as Reigns came out, he was literally like screaming. He's like, yes, Reigns, he's back, he's the Christ. I went, Pat, please just like calm down a little bit. Like,
he missed one show.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Hey, it's nice to see Reigns. Glad he's doing better. Hey ho. He came back and
sorry, I saw this. And I don't think he means on fire and like, oh, he was really on his game. I think he was literally on fire.
It would explain a lot, you know, if he was
on
fire. Someone
just set Pat McAfee on fire at the start of the show.
It makes sense. Roman Reigns says that he never wants to see Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman again. Out comes Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. I quite enjoyed this segment.
I like that.
And I'll tell you for why. Because this whole segment was designed to kind of sow dissension between Heyman and Lesnar already. They've only just reunited, but they are sowing those seeds between them because they're still playing the whose side is Paul Heyman on story.
It's a love triangle.
So Lesnar was being a bit of a dick in this segment. Like, he stole the microphone away from Heyman to do his own introduction, which is the thing that Paul Heyman does.
Did a really
repeatedly.
Good impression.
It was very good, wasn't it? It was a really good introduction.
I'm like, wow. I was not expecting such a spot on Paul Heyman impression from Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm.
I know, right? From the guy that does the let's do this. Yeah, I was not expecting that, but it was very good. And then he repeatedly told Heyman to shut up. Heyman was saying, like, I loved you, my tribal chief. I was doing this all for you. And Heyman, Les is like, what the hell, dude? Shut up. Like, what are you talking about? So he constantly was, like, getting in his face and, like, questioning him and telling him to shut up. And Roman's like, don't talk to Heyman that way. I'm like, this is weird.
He still cares.
He still cares about Heyman, you know?
Still cares about me.
And then Lesnar's like, oh, what? What are you going to do about it? And then he punches him in the face. Does Superman punch. Lesnar asked for a title versus title. Reigns punched him in the face. And then that was that. So they're still continuing, obviously, the Lesnar-Reigns feud. But I feel like now, I think they're probably going to separate for a bit to focus on their own title matches that they have coming up. And then they'll probably reconvene in time for the Saudi show on February 19th to continue that story. Or maybe Mania. I don't know.
I remember a time when, at this point, the big matches were being built up for the actual important show.
Mm.
Yeah, I could definitely see them doing this match, and then the Royal Rumble winner is in it, like a triple threat match, like the women's match at WrestleMania 35. I think that would be cool. I don't know who you would put in that position. Maybe a Big E. Maybe a Bobby Lashley or something like that. I think there's different options that you could go with, but I like that direction. I don't have a problem with that. And then Roman Reigns can hold two belts and hold that for another year until we finally get the Rock match. And he's going to be champion. He should break Bruno Sammartino's record.
God, that's so long, Tempest.
I say that, right? And you feel like how long Roman Reigns has been champion.
Yeah,
you realize that Roman Reigns would need to be champion for like six more years.
I know, it's so long, Tempest.
Oh,
it's so
goodness.
Long. Anyway, we then had an ad break and then a recap of what we just saw. Good stuff, SmackDown. Love it. Sami Zayn then runs into Johnny Knoxville backstage, who I thought was already in the Royal Rumble, but apparently he isn't. So then Sami Zayn is like, you need to prove to me that you're even worthy of going in the Royal Rumble. You need to show me something of why you should be in the Rumble. Then Sami Zayn, who's the number one contender to the Intercontinental Championship, lest you forget, then had a match against Rick Boogs. Rick Boogs took all of this match. And I do mean all of this match. And then Sami Zayn started trash-talking Nakamura on the outside, and then Rick Boogs won with a roll-up. So Sami Zayn looks like a massive chump coming out of this.
I hate the show. You remember when they put the number one contender thing on him?
Mm.
Why is he losing now? You know, like Riho is about to wrestle for the AEW women's title.
Mm-hmm.
Is Jamie Hayter just beating Riho clean on TV? No. Because that would be stupid.
Mm.
Stupid.
In a few minutes as well, after taking all the offense in the match too.
Like, why couldn't they have just freaking had Ricochet win that match or something like that?
Sure.
You know, like, I realized during this show that we are now going to get Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Mm.
Like, I realized what I was seeing, you know?
Oh, God.
One of the most legendary NXT matches of all time.
Yeah.
And I know this is going to be like a 5-minute match with a stupid guitar segment and everything, and it's just going to depress me. And I thought about it, and I just died a little inside.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what WWE does. It kills me inside. And I don't... I'm not going to... I was going to say I don't know what killed me inside more this week. The deathly virus or WWE. But the virus actually is deadly, and I don't want to make jokes about it. Get vaxxed, get boosted, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
SmackDown is still rough.
It's not great, is it? Johnny Knoxville then came out because Sammy was annoyed afterwards, and then he threw Sammy over the top rope. And then because of that, the ring announcer, whoever it is, I forget the name, then announced that because of that, Johnny Knoxville is now qualified for the Rumble.
Did he say that Johnny Knoxville has now qualified?
I'm pretty sure. Let me go.
Did he say that Johnny Knoxville is now qualified to be in the Royal Rumble? Because I like the idea of Johnny Knoxville walking up to Sami Zayn and just like grabbing his leg and lifting, and someone being like, he can do it. He's qualified now. Like, he has the qualifications to be in the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just... Why is that the way it works?
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's fine,
I don't know. Rather. It's fine. I might watch the Jackass movie. I don't know.
I'm literally I've got the segment up here. I'm just going to see what the wording was for the Johnny Knoxville elimination. It's Johnny Knoxville. Here he goes. Okay. Come on.
Am I wrong?
Johnny Knoxville is now qualified to be in the Royal Rumble.
Right? He has the qualifications. This was a job interview.
He didn't qualify. He is now qualified to be in the Rumble. So technically, he's still not in the Rumble. He's still not qualified.
He's just qualified to be in it. Oh, this show.
Oh, WWE, you do make me laugh. Sure, whatever. Luke will be happy. New Day say that they're going to be champions because they're having a street fight with the Usos later. All right. Cool. Sure. Charlotte Flair then comes out, does the announcement that she's going to be in the Rumble and the video package that we spoke about earlier. And then Naomi comes out and says, hey, you could enter the Rumble, or you could also give me a title match like right now. And Charlotte's like, why? You haven't done anything lately. I'm like, good point, Charlotte. She hasn't. Didn't make any sense. But then Naomi's like, well, I've done this, and then slapped her. And then after an ad break, it's time for a championship contenders match. My favorite. I love championship contenders matches. They're my favorite stipulation that WWE has ever done. And of course, ever. It's my favorite. And of course, Sonya Deville was getting involved in this match. Because, of course, Naomi was going to win via count out, but then just as it got to like an 8 count, so I thought this was good timing at least, Sonya Deville came out and was just like, oh, forgot to mention that you can't win this match via count out, sorry. And then later on, there was a figure 4 spot, Naomi got to the ropes, and then she was like, oh, didn't mention you can't win via DQ either. And then Charlotte won via natural selection afterwards. The match itself, though, the actual wrestling in the match, I thought was pretty good. I quite liked the actual in-ring action that happened between these two was pretty good. It's a good showcase of why Naomi, I think, deserves a lot more than what she's been given currently. But like, what are you doing with this whole Sonya Deville stuff? Can we get to the point?
It has such go-away heat with me now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's real bad.
It's like they wrote a list of all the different segments that you could do to get heat. Like, mm-hmm. every possible heat segment. And they're just doing all of them back to back. It's been like 5 months. And we're still at square one.
Yeah.
Square one! We still don't have a motivation here! And I know that we talk about this all the time, but it's because they keep doing it!
Yeah. Like, if you think that we sound like broken records, imagine watching the show.
Yeah.
Like, goddamn.
Yeah. Like, I genuinely do not understand. Like, it doesn't make a lick of sense.
No.
And again, there is a way to have a rivalry last from August until WrestleMania. It is not this way.
No.
This is not the way.
No.
Oy vey.
After that, the Usos cut a promo saying they'll be champions by the end of the night. And then Happy Corbin came out. And... Mm-hmm. He had some pyro, and I was like, firstly, Happy Corbin having pyro, what? And then he came out by himself, so I wrote down his guest is he has a special guest is what he said, is what they advertised before an ad break. And I said, I would bet a ridiculous amount of money that it is Madcap Moss that is his special guest.
Yep. I would have bet my
comes back
house on this.
Oh yeah, easy. Comes back from an ad break. We then get an ad for NXT. We then get a recap of Lesnar versus Reigns. Then we get a backstage segment of Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce saying that Adam Pearce has got off the phone with higher WWE management. Call him Vince McMahon. He's still an on-screen character, goddammit. And saying that he needs to pick an opponent for Roman Reigns for the Royal Rumble tonight. Just quickly, just going to bring this up now. In this shot that they had of the backstage segment of Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville, they had the two of them talking, they both finished the segment, they walked off, and then the camera kind of panned back round to like the background of where they were standing, and someone was standing in a silhouette in the corridor, and I was like, who the hell is this person? And I don't think they were necessarily meant to be there. It just looked like that way. Who the hell is this? That standing is off
ominous.
At the very back. Like, I don't know who that is. Like, there's the dude on his phone, and then there's just someone at the back just standing in shadows. Like, who are you? What? I don't, are you supposed to be there? Like,
Von Wagner.
It's Von Wagner. You're
it's
right.
The ghost
you're
of
right.
Von Wagner. It's it too short be, yeah. to be Von Wagner.
It just looked weird because normally you have, you know, people in the background in shots and whatever, but it was the way that it panned off for Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville. And then it came back to focus on this person again. And I was like, are they important? Are they supposed to be there? And it just looked very weird. But anyway, after that, we go back to Happy Talk. Special guest that's been built up for ages now. Because we had an ad break in like 3 other segments before it actually comes back to Happy Talk. It's Drew McIntyre. JK, it's Madcap Moss dressed as Drew McIntyre.
I was surprised he didn't have Braveheart makeup on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was like a sure thing.
Yeah. He came out, he literally, I wrote down, throw us a recap of Corbin and McIntyre from day one, and then I wrote down, it's going to be Madcap Moss dressed as McIntyre, and then wrote, whoa, what a shocker, never could have seen that coming. I will give him credit, all right? I will give them credit. Not much credit, but I'll give them some credit. This wasn't funny. They have made me laugh now, once. One time they've made me laugh. This whole Madcap Moss Happy Corbin story thing. They have now made me laugh one time.
It's
and that
bad
was when.
Average.
It's not a good conversion rate right there. But it was when Madcap Moss the whole time was doing like a Scottish accent, pretending he's Drew, saying that he's terrible and Happy Corbin's amazing or whatever. Really unfunny stuff. And then at one point he tears off the neck brace and goes, it was me. It's Madcap Moss. I fooled you all. And I was like, All right, that's a good line. Like, that's a funny line for him to be like, I fall joy. It's a good, like, heel shtick. In context with everything else, not funny. But on its own, as, like, its own line, I was like, I got a little chuckle out of me. Well done. You did it. Well done, WWE. Congratulations.
What's happened to you, Pete?
I don't know, man.
This is where I went and, like, I saw Happy Corbin coming out, and I was like, you know what? I can leave for a few minutes. It's okay. Mm. Went to the bathroom. I got something to eat. I came back. Keep in mind, Happy Talk had not started yet, and I was gone for, like, 10 minutes. So that's a bad start. And then I sat down, and Mad Cat Moss came out, and this is where I just started playing Mappy.
Mm-hmm.
I just picked up my Switch and went, you know what? Not today. And I still heard everything, and I don't have it in me. I don't have it in me for Happy Talk today.
Yep.
How is it possible that this is what's on every show?
The Viking Raiders came out afterwards, and it turns out they have a scheduled match. Okay. Glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
I then wrote, this match is going to be quick because they hit a deep six in the first like few seconds. and then Madcap Moss won with his finisher, which he's now calling the Punchline.
I mean, that's not a bad name for a finisher.
It's not a bad name for his gimmick. It's just that his gimmick is terrible.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah. Also, what world are we living in? Where Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss are beating War Machine.
Yeah, man.
You know, like, they don't have tag teams on this show. Perhaps you shouldn't beat one of, like, the three that you have.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. Fine. I remember watching War Machine and Ring of Honor in New Japan. It's really
cool. They were
cool.
Good, right?
Yeah, sure were.
I remember watching Viking Raiders in NXT.
They were cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're really like good. Them.
Yeah. Sheamus then spoke about Rich Holland breaking his nose and he enters himself into the Rumble, but he didn't throw anyone over the top rope. How is he qualified to be in the Royal Rumble?
He's not at all.
He needs the credentials. We'll see it.
He's got to throw specifically Sami Zayn over the top rope.
I
also die a little bit inside every time they bring up the 2012 Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
That show went a long way to making me like wrestling less.
Mm.
You know what I mean? When I was
with him and Jericho as the final two.
And I was like, easy pick. Easy Chris Jericho going to WrestleMania. And 10 years later, it was still the wrong choice.
Oh, man. After that, we then got the main event, which was the Usos versus the New Day in a street fight, who then started doing regular tags to start with.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
I've never understood this.
I've never understood the idea, because, like, in theory, do you still need to have the legal man get the pin stuff?
There's no DQs, right?
There's no reason for you to not just, but at the same time, there's no reason that there should be a difference between just like a no DQ tag match and a tornado tag match.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason for those two things to be separate, because they still want to be like, oh, legal tag. You got to have the legal man be able to get the pin and get pinned and whatever. They have to be involved in the decision. Doesn't make sense optically to watch these guys and just like, get out of the ring now. You're not the legal man. It's like, or what? You gonna DQ me? No, you're not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But after an ad break, they started having an actual street fight, which is good. It was kind of like the American Top Team in a Circle match where they just did legal tags to start with, and then they were just like, yeah, let's just have a street fight. And then they just started fighting and forgot about what
all these things happen. They just break down.
It's very stupid. Why not just have a street fight to start with? This then led into the actual match itself, which I thought was quite fun. A lot of good action. There was a weird bit with some tape where they taped up Woods' wrist, and then Kingston just immediately saved him and was like, no, never mind. And I was like, oh, what was the point of that spot then? Bit weird.
I think this is one of the times where Pat McAfee broke Michael Cole.
Mm.
Pat McAfee was just like losing his mind over duct tape. He's like, it's duct tape! It's the number one trend in America! You can never break out of duct tape! Everybody knows that! And Michael Cole's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. Kofi really messed up an SOS spot in this match.
He did, didn't he? They tried to recover and just made it look like a roll-up, but...
Yeah. This is why this, to me, that is my number one, like, move that I don't understand. It's never looked right in my mind watching the SOS, and then I saw it, and now, like, 14 years after he did it the first time, I am vindicated because he messed it up one time.
There was a weird bit where Woods and Kingston found some, like, armor. Like, he found, like, a helmet. And then Kingston had some, like, armor, which he pretended, like, he half put on, but then he didn't because there wasn't any straps or anything. So he just kind of held it and then just used it as a weapon.
Yeah.
It was just a bit. He no-sold a super kick because he super kicked the helmet.
That's not how, like, that would work.
That's not how force works. No, not at all. Crowd chant, we want tables. They get out of table. There's a Trouble in Paradise, which Jimmy Uso broke up. And the Usos have now seemingly just taken the 3D, except they're calling it the 1D now because it's one and done. That's why they're calling it the 1D.
Yeah.
Which is all right. I guess. It's weird to call something the 1D. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just strange. You know, usually in a moment like this, you would think that, oh, well, they're building to a feud with the Dudleys, but that's not happening.
No.
I don't know. It's just like, yeah, it's cool. It's whatever. I don't know. I thought that I've seen them have a lot of matches together. I think that most of them would have been better than this match. I didn't really get the whole Knights thing. I think watching a man get kicked in the head and him just be like, got a helmet on. I was just like, all right, I'm watching a cartoon. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't get it. And then he took it off immediately.
Yeah.
It was like, why would you take it off? That is your technical advantage.
Oh. It's good protection right there.
Yeah. I don't know. It was fine. It was like a fine main event. I know I've seen these guys have better matches, and this show had just kind of broken me to this point.
That's fair. But I thought the show ended on a very intriguing note, if you take aside the whole Raw and SmackDown brands, because it doesn't exist anymore.
Survivor Series, the one out of year, Raw and SmackDown go head-to-head.
Yeah. If you ignore all of that, cuts backstage to Roman Reigns, who before the match had told Adam Pearce, I don't care who you pick, because I've beaten everyone on the roster. And I was like, damn, he's kind of right, though. And then Adam Pearce was like, well, okay, I'm just going to pick someone. And it cuts backstage to Reigns after the match, and you hear on the door knocking in the Shield theme. I thought that was a nice little touch there.
That was really funny.
Seth Rollins, who knocked on the door in the Shield theme, which is quite funny, and he just walks in, Reigns looks at him, and he just laughs a bit, and then that's the show. So it's going to be Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble, it looks like. I'm really intrigued because the reports coming out of day one, there's a few conflicting ones. Obviously, a lot of plans changed. Some were saying that Big E was going to retain. Some were saying that Seth was going to win originally before plans got changed to Brock Lesnar. Now we're getting Seth versus Roman. I don't know what's going to happen at the Rumble with Lesnar and Lashley and with Roman and Seth. I don't know whether Roman and Brock are both going to win. It's going to be a title versus title thing later on. If, like, they both cost each other, so then you can have Seth with the Universal challenging someone at Mania, Lashley with someone at Mania, and then you can have Roman versus Brock not for a title at Mania, and you have two other title matches. You can have Seth beating Roman, so then Roman drops his title, so then his and Lesnar's feud is just over the WWE Championship, or the inverse. Lesnar's the one that loses, so then it's Reigns versus Lesnar for the Universal. I don't know what way this stuff is going to go, and for me, that's quite intriguing.
It reminds me of the 2017 Royal Rumble, where you were going into the show with Roman against Kevin Owens for the Universal title and Styles and Cena for the WWE title. And both of those matches could result in a title change or could not. Like, it was all feasible. And then based off of those four potential champions, you had like 12 people that could win the Royal Rumble. And then they went with Randy Orton. regardless,
let's ignore that.
There were a lot of options, and going into that show, it was way more intriguing than in most years because of it. I think you could do something like that this year, where it's like, I don't know who's going to win either of the title matches. I don't know who's going to win the Royal Rumble. And you put all that together and you have a really intriguing show. That's really cool. I like the idea of that. If Seth beats Roman, I will not be a fan. I don't think that's a good idea. I think that Roman Reigns losing the title should be like the biggest possible thing, should get a new star over. And I don't think Seth Rollins being the one that beats Roman Reigns is a satisfying ending to his like build up of a title reign. That's just me. Other people can feel differently. I just want to get the most out of this title reign. That's why I would have had like Isaiah Swerve Scott or somebody beat him for it. But hey, not my company.
Yeah, I don't have the same, I guess, optimism is the word.
Yeah.
Because
I'm not optimistic it's going to happen.
I don't think they care about building a new star from Roman's thing or anything like that. They're just going to have someone beat Roman at some point when they feel like it. I don't think they care about the buildup of Reigns' title legacy or the length of it or whatever. They're just going to be like, Seth can win. He's a big star. That'll do.
Yeah.
You know, so I could totally see him losing it here, especially if Brock is the one that costs him. If he loses via distraction or something and Seth wins, I could totally see that. Yeah.
I could as well.
Yeah.
I could as well. And I'm looking forward to this match because Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins have always had like a really unique kind of chemistry with one another. Mm-hmm. You know, I really enjoyed their match at Money in the Bank where they kind of like swapped roles for a night and Roman played heel and Seth played babyface, even though that's not how they were aligned at the time. You know, mm-hmm. you can listen to more of my thoughts on that match on my YouTube channel, Tempest Likes Wrestling, where I talk about how WWE fixed Roman Reigns. Cheap plug. But it'll be really interesting now because the dynamic has changed again because Seth is a heel and Roman's a heel. But, like, I don't know how they're going to go about doing that in their match. Mm-hmm. And that sort of thing intrigues me. I'm looking forward to seeing these two artists paint a new picture.
I also like the fact that Seth's motivation from last year was that he really wanted a universal title match. And he was like, I'm worthy of having a universal title match. I should be a number one contender. His like mm-hmm. whole motivation was he wanted a universal title match. And now he's getting one. That's nice. Unintentional, I'm sure, but still long-term storytelling. I don't think they meant to do that, but it's a nice, happy coincidence that this is paying off on character motivation from last year. That's nice. I like that too. Mm-hmm. So it was an intriguing end. I liked it. And I like the previous Roman Brock stuff. I don't know what's going on with these two converging world title pictures. They seem, it's an interesting mix and I don't know what's going to happen. Is it necessarily good? I don't know, but it's leaving me intrigued at the very least. And that's more than usual, I can say for WWE. So
agreed.
That's nice. Yeah. And I like the Usos New Day match. I thought it was good. I liked the Charlotte Naomi match minus the Sonya Deville stuff, but the actual in-ring action was nice. I thought this was like a 3 out of 5.
I think 3 is fair. I like the Roman and Brock stuff at the start. I just, the booking of this show is asinine and it hurts my feelings.
It's not great. I'll agree with you on that one. According to our poll on our community tab, 55% of people voting for a 3 out of 5, 14% going for a 4 out of 5, 13% doing a 2 out of 5, and 12% doing a 1 out of 5.
Incredibly balanced.
Very balanced, yeah, as all things should be.
It's giving us the middle finger.
It is, yeah.
It literally looks like someone doing that. Well, I guess it would be that way, but regardless. Yeah.
Which is what the show is doing. Let's get into talking about Rampage, shall we?
Rampage. Let's do that. Time for Rampage for you today, Pete.
In your editor review earlier, you said you had a spicy take about Hook, which we're going to talk about, because I've got some thoughts about Hook. But the start of this show was Adam Cole versus Jake Atlas, which was really good stuff. Okay, I thought that when Jake Atlas was in NXT, which is the only time I've seen Jake Atlas before, haven't seen him on the indies or anything like that, the only time I've seen Jake Atlas was in NXT, and I thought he was good. I didn't think he was fantastic, didn't think he was amazing. I thought he was good, solid worker, decent, you know? He came out in this match, first minute, I was like, God, Jake Atlas is really good. Wow. He's a great wrestler. This match was so good at putting both these guys over, especially Jake Atlas, who kind of had a bit of a showcase here to be like, no, he's a very good wrestler. You all should pay attention to Jake Atlas. And I was like, I will now pay attention to Jake Atlas. Thank you very much, AEW Rampage, for notifying me. The end of this match was a real shame. Because coming off a springboard, it looked like Atlas injured his knee. to the point where they were going to do a Panama Sunrise, and he couldn't get over for it at all. He was literally like, he was barely like managing to stand on the one leg. He just couldn't go for it at all. It was a really nice adaptation from Adam Cole to make it look a bit more like legit, in that he was holding his knee and clutching his knee. So Adam Cole like took his knee and did a very obviously weak look. He didn't want to actually legitimately injure him, but did like a knee bar, like a heel hook type thing on that leg that was the injured one, so that he tapped out, which was, it was nice. It made it look more real. It was like, this guy's clutching his knee. He's clearly injured his knee. I'm going to go target his knee, you know? Yeah. That I really liked. It's just a shame for Jake Atlas, and I hope the injury's not too severe and he can come back soon. He said that his knee's okay, so he shouldn't be out for too long, hopefully. So it's nothing serious, like, you know, an ACL tear or anything like that. So hopefully he'll be back before long, because this was a really good showcase for Jake Atlas. Really came out looking great coming out of this.
I really enjoy that this is kind of what Rampage can be most weeks, you know, where it's like you have Adam Cole, who's the big established star, and you have him face like a John Silver or a Jake Atlas, and you allow them to go out and basically have like a PWG match. You know, they go out there and they are able to showcase both guys. And this is the biggest stage that Jake Atlas has ever wrestled on, ever. Mm. And that's big. It's probably the biggest crowd that he's ever wrestled in front of. I could be wrong there, but again, I don't know. I don't know if he's like wrestled in the Tokyo Dome on something, but
yeah,
you know, this is like a big match for him, and he completely rose to the occasion. And that doesn't shock me at all, because I know that Jake Atlas is fantastic, but I just love this idea that you can have this kind of be like the showcase show, where you can have the established guy have a fantastic match with a younger guy, and then you both get over in the process. It's so simple, and I love that. I love that, and I love seeing guys that I know have like crossed paths before, or maybe just missed each other because they're both PWG guys. I love seeing stuff like that happening in AEW, because I do think there is some portion of AEW that is just PWG on TV.
Mm.
And that's a good thing, because PWG is great. And I think this match is great, and I hope that Jake Atlas is okay, and he's back, and he's fantastic. Like, he's one of the last guys that have been on my indie wrestling wish list for AEW to sign. It was like him, Wheeler Yuta, Lee Moriarty, maybe a couple others, because I always forget a couple. But like, those guys were like the very top of the list, and there's not very many left. Tony Deppen is one of them, but there's not many after that. And this roster just looks so good. So good.
Their roster's insane. Also, I just like to point out that Jake Atlas is 27.
Crazy. What?
That's absolutely nuts.
Crazy.
Dude is so much younger than I thought he was. That's insane. He's got such a bright future. That's awesome. Dude's younger than me. What? Ridiculous. Best Friends came out to make the save, because Disputed Era came out and we're going to do a beatdown on Jake Atlas afterwards, but Orange Cassidy and Best Friends came out and chased them off. Cool. We then got the announcement that Cody Rhodes is out of the Battle of the Belts tonight and has been replaced with Dustin. Sounds like it's COVID. Been no confirmation of that, but the phrasing they're using, you know, due to medical protocol, Cody Rhodes is out of the thing. It sounds like COVID, but I don't know that for sure. So Cody's out and Dustin Rhodes is in. It's going to be Dustin versus Sammy to crown an interim TNT champion. So yeah, that's cool, I guess.
Yeah, it's just like, man, it's all right. It's cool.
Yeah. Andrade backstage that says that he needs a new assistant, and he's looking at Darby Allin. Because he was saying, why is Darby Allin working for Sting? Okay.
I'm going to be interested to see the match.
Yeah, the match I'm sure will be great.
You know, I've kind of lost steam on Andrade and AEW.
Me too.
You know, it's disappointing. He's one that's not, he's, how to say this, if you're watching baseball, they've had a lot of guys go up there and first time out hit a home run. Brian Danielson, home run signing. CM Punk, home run signing. You know, Malachi Black, home run signing. Bunch of these guys. Andrade's a guy who's gone out there and in his first game he's hit a single, you know? And that's it. He went 1-for-4 at the plate. He's hit a single. Maybe he's hit 2 singles. He's had a couple good matches with Pac. That's not good enough to fit in amongst the home run hitters. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And again, it sounds really entitled to be like, well, he needs to have a 5-star match every time out there. But that's kind of the precedent that's been set. And if you're going to hang...
That's the AEW standard.
Yeah, if you're going to hang, you got to rise to the occasion. And I don't think he has. And I don't think that his feuds have really been that interesting. And that's a mixture of him. That's a mixture of the booking. And that's everything. But it is what it is. I think Andrade versus Darby should be a very good match.
Yes, I agree. We then had Hook. Hook versus Aaron Solo. My notes for this is just, Hook is so effing good. God damn it. Is my first note. God, he's so much fun. One, he's so over. Oh my God, is he over. Him coming out and just doing the most basic stuff. He did a T-bone suplex in this one. And I was like, it's the most I've ever popped for a T-bone suplex. He's just the greatest. I love him. Tempest, you've said before, you have a very spicy hot take about Hook. Please do enlighten us.
This is a lot spicier than I usually go.
Oh.
Because I, in theory, like to walk the line. That might be hard for people to understand, judging by how much I lose my mind and go off the rails here. But I try and walk the line with my actual, like, controversial opinions.
Okay.
That being said, I think they should put the title on Hook. Because, and I know I'm going to lose people here. Allow me to explain.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Allow me to explain. I don't think that they just should put, and I'm talking about like the top title.
The world title. Like the world title.
I think that you could put the title on Hook and it would work. And I think that is the difference. Because, again, allow me to explain. Tony Khan has a bunch of like storyline ideas. There's a bunch of things that he wants to do. You know, he said like, oh, I want to do like the 10-minute match where if I last 10 minutes with you, I get a title match type thing that they did with Jungle Boy and Chris Jericho, right? Like, that's just an example.
Yeah.
They do that sort of thing. This is now an idea where how often will you ever get the chance of doing the Wrestling Prodigy Shocks the World beats the champion story, like an Okada beating Tanahashi level Shaka and Osaka event?
Yeah,
that's a storyline idea where you really, really need the right guys to come along, because you can't do that with anybody. You do that with somebody and he's not good enough and he's exposed and everything, then it all falls apart and you've really damaged your world title. That being said, I think it would work with this guy. Now, granted, he's had 3 matches.
Mm-hmm.
They've been very simple matches, but he's got it. He's got the presence of a guy well beyond his years, well beyond his experience level. He's the kind of guy that doesn't have, like, he doesn't look green when he's in there. And because he doesn't look green, like, he's not rushing. He's not doing any of the mistakes that you would normally see from a green guy. And again, these matches are simple. And I understand that. I understand that we haven't seen him sell a whole lot. We haven't seen him talk. But he's got it. He's really got it. And I'm not, and I'm sure there would be like a million bajillion people be like, oh, he doesn't deserve it and blah, 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 because, you know, wrestling fans and all that. But if you want to do the storyline of a guy shocking the world and winning the championship as a rookie that no one sees coming, you could do it with this guy. And I don't think you'll have the opportunity to do it with another guy anytime soon. I don't think this is ever going to happen. I don't think that this is even remotely close to what they're thinking. But I think you could do it with Hook. Mm-hmm. I think he could rise to the occasion. He's got this music. He's got the presence. He's over. It's not just a guy. You could do it with this guy, and I believe that it would work and be like a really big deal and not fall apart like it would with a just about any other rookie. Telling you, man.
Yeah.
Hook for AEW World Champion.
I think
you could do it.
I think you're right. You know, I think it's crazy. And I think you'd need to tread very, very, very lightly with it.
Oh, this would have to be completely orchestrated. Everything would have to be meticulously planned.
Yeah.
But I think you could do it.
And the thing is, you don't need Hook to cut promos. He's got Team Taz around him. You've got guys like Ricky Starks and Taz surrounding him. He's fine. You don't need him to cut promos. He's the thing that I love about Hook that I really enjoyed in this match as well, is that he comes out, does his business, and walks away. Mm-hmm. He's not there to do anything else. He's just taking care of business. That's what he does. Comes out, does his wrestling, leaves. He tried to leave. QT Marshall was like, excuse me, like spun him back. And he was like, all right, now you've pissed me off. I'll give you a suplex. And now I'm going to walk out. Didn't like do any more beatdown afterwards, didn't like stomp on him, didn't like soak in the crowd, didn't do anything. He just left afterwards. He's just taking care of business. I would love that kind of character for Hook with a title. He just comes in, defends his title, wins, and walks off. That's mm-hmm. what Hook does. Just takes care of business. And everyone's like trying to get under his skin. He's just a guy that doesn't care, you know? Someone who is just there to take care of business. And there's all these people that try and challenge him who are trying to get under his skin and trying to get in his head. And he's just like, whatever. I'm just gonna beat you because that's what I do. I'm Hook, you know?
On a more realistic level, I think he's going to be a fantastic TNT champion with that same sort of gimmick.
Yes, I agree.
I'm just looking at this. It's got to be a surprise. It's got to be the rookie shocking the established champion, like Okada did with Tanahashi. I don't want to say that Hook is Okada because, like, no one is Okada.
No.
But I don't think you're going to get a rookie this good again in AEW, maybe ever. To have his legitimate third match ever. And be this good. I think you could do a lot.
Yeah. I would compare him. I'm not saying that he's going to be as big a star as Brock Lesnar is, because Brock Lesnar is one of the biggest wrestling stars ever. But that kind of win, like the rookie win, would be similar to the Lesnar style win of guy coming in, shocking the big guys like Okada, like Lesnar. And I would compare it more to Lesnar than Okada. I don't know. It might work. I don't know. I want them to do it now just to see. But I also don't want them to do it in case it fails, you know? Because if it does fail, oh God, it's going to fail. It's going to be real bad.
And that's again, you got to tread very lightly with something like this. Mm-hmm. But I think it could work.
Yeah. I think it could work. Someone pointed out in the chat that it couldn't work because of the ranking system. It totally could. Just have Hook keep winning for a bit.
Keep winning.
Yeah, he's already 3-0. Just have him wrestle every week on Rampage. Maybe give him a couple Dynamite matches, you know, here and there. And then eventually, you know, Hangman retains against whoever he's facing, like Revolution or whatever. And then he does like a post-match, or he comes out on the next Dynamite, does a promo, gets interrupted by Hook. He just goes, or like with Taz, and Taz is like, my boy right here has an amazing win-loss record, hasn't lost a match yet. He's the number one ranked wrestler right now. Boom, there's your match. Like, it totally work.
I'm telling you.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you. I think now there's something there.
Yeah. Like, dude, it's so over.
On a completely separate note, I had an idea last night that I want to see a boy band faction in, like, the future, where you've got Hook as the bad boy. Jungle Boy is, like, the cute one. Dante Martin is, like, the shy one. And then, like... Yeah. Jake Atlas or Daniel Garcia or someone like that. I think you could do something like that. Like 2 or 3 years from now, just put all the really young guys that all would like appeal to women or men. Yeah. Not discriminating here. Just all like the young guys that have the different, you could have like the boy band roles with things. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That was just like a dumb idea that I had where I was just like, I want to see a little boy band faction with all the young guys in AEW.
I'm glad you said dumb idea because it is a dumb idea.
It is a dumb idea. Sometimes I want to see a dumb idea.
We got a video package about the women's street fight for Rampage last week. And then we got Ruby Soho and Riho versus Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter, which is a decent little match, this one. I quite enjoyed it. Soho and Riho worked really well together, I thought. Really nice chemistry between those two working as a team. Finish came when Jamie Hayter accidentally hit Britt Baker. Oh, no. And then Hayter got rolled up by Riho. So Riho got the win here. And then Britt Baker, like, shoved Hayter when she walked off by herself. So I think this split is coming soon, I would hope. It's good. It furthered that story, gave Riho another win, so Baker still hasn't beaten Riho ever. Good. Good stuff.
I like it. I've come around on, we were kind of hard on Riho beating Britt Baker and everything, but it's given Britt Baker something to do before the pay-per-view, and I like that. I like that they have played in the idea that Riho just has Britt Baker's number. She's like the one that has Britt Baker's number, and then they're going to have their title match tonight, and Britt Baker's going to win. I think that's a perfectly acceptable storyline. I think at the time we were just like, Britt Baker really could have used a really solid, clean win at this point, but I think we're going to get that tonight, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. Should be a good match. I like Riho. I like Ruby Soho. I like Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker. I like everyone involved. I like seeing the progression of the storyline. This is just solid booking. It didn't like blow my mind or anything, but it was just like, yeah, it was good. It's what I want on a show like this.
Yeah. We then got a promo from Dan Lambert and Men of the Year. Men of the Year complained about Dustin being in the match and not them. Scorpio Sky had some pretty good points about why he should have been in instead, and they're going to watch the interim TNT title match closely. Good.
Cool. I'm not super into Men of the Year right now, I gotta be honest.
No, I'm with you on that. Danny Garcia in 2.0 then faced Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz. They started doing their split screen promos, but Kingston and Santana and Ortiz just walked out of their shot and then just walked into their shot and started fighting, which is quite fun. And the tag team street fight started outside the ring with all three of them fighting because it doesn't matter about doing legal tags. Crazy that. Weird line from Chris Jericho on commentary here. Chris Jericho's on commentary for the show, by the way. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, from Dynamite, I made jokes about Squarehead and Pinhead, but these guys are very tough. Why did you make the jokes about Squarehead and Pinhead then, Jericho? Why are you trying to undermine them if you think they're actually good? Just don't do the jokes, man. And I was not sold on the whole Jericho segment from Dynamite. I mentioned that on the Dynamite review. I didn't like that at all.
Nor was I.
Yeah.
Can I be perfectly honest here? This might be controversial. I think Chris Jericho's kind of washed.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I think when AEW started, he was a very big fish in the growing pond.
Mm-hmm.
There are now several bigger fish, and he does not feel important. And I do not think that he has felt like his promos have been any good. Like, I don't remember the last good promo that Chris Jericho's cut. It's been a while, you know?
No.
The promos he's cut, like, the last 6 months have all been him calling Paige Van Zandt, like, a bad word for a woman. You know? He might not have explicitly said that, but it's all, like, sex jokes, you know, whatever. Crap like that. It's been, like, almost a year since he cut that one promo on the Pinnacle that was really good. And everyone was like, wow, was that the best promo ever? I don't think that that's, like, I don't know. Face Jericho sucks.
Yeah, Face Jericho is not good, man.
You know, he's been good in the past, and I really thought that it was like a bucket list item for him to be like main event babyface in a wrestling promotion, because he'd never done that. He was always a mid-carder in WWE when he was a babyface. So I thought he was going to like really bring it and be a top-level babyface, and I've not seen it at all. Like, at all.
No. But regardless, though, this match, though, I thought was quite good because the action just didn't stop. You know, they had the picture-in-picture ad break, and there was a pile driver on a chair during the ad break. You know, okay, sure, whatever.
I watched it on Fight, so I just see these things as if there's no ad break.
Yeah. So as part of the picture in picture, they just had a pile driver on a chair. Like, all right, sure. But it was all just smoke and mirrors. It was all just weapons. There wasn't actually that much wrestling in this match, but that wasn't the point. It's, a heated blood feud. It was these guys fighting. Garcia nailed Eddie Kingston with the ring bell, but then he kicked out, which was really good. I bought that near 400%. And then Santana and Ortiz nailed just like a whole bunch of moves back to back on Parker and then pin him for the win.
Mr. Good. Fuji. He threw salt in his eyes.
Yeah, with the powder or whatever.
I haven't looked at any of the comments on my edited review. I hope someone appreciated my one random out of context clip from the dirt sheet from 14 years ago.
But then Garcia and Lee start beating people up. Jericho came down for the save. Cool. Like I said, I'm not super into Jericho at all, but yeah, it was fine.
I think on paper, Chris Jericho versus Eddie Kingston is a solid match for Revolution. I would like Eddie Kingston to win that match.
I was going
to
say, if Kingston wins, then yes, I agree.
Yeah. That being said, I'm kind of ready for this little mini feud of all of these guys against 2.0 and Daniel Garcia to be over. Yes. You know, it's like you do the same match a few times and it's like, it's okay, it's fun. But once you do it the same time, I'm just ready for something new. I would imagine that Eddie Kingston's going to face Daniel Garcia one-on-one, beat him, and then they will move on.
Mm-hmm.
That is my theory. I cross my fingers.
Yeah.
I'm ready to speed this one up a little bit.
Yeah. I will say in general, just a general thing about AEW is I feel like sometimes their feuds do just go on for too long. There's been quite a few instances now where it's like, this feud I feel like has finished a while back and we're still going. Like Orange Cassidy versus Matt Hardy went on forever.
Yeah.
Obviously this one with Garcia and Kingston and Jericho and 2.0 and all those guys. Inner Circle American Top Team feuds felt like it was forever. Just, I don't know. It just feels like there's sometimes where it just gets stretched out way too long.
Yeah, like the main event feuds, I think, are all very concise and very well booked and thought out and everything. But it's these it's the ones that will never be on pay-per-view, the little mid-level feuds where you can just okay, this is what we're putting on Rampage. This is what we're putting on Rampage. This is what we're putting on Rampage. And next thing you know, it's been 6 months of Matt Hardy and Orange Cassidy and Best Friends and Hardy Family Office matches. It's like, okay, let's wrap it up now, please.
Yeah.
And again, I felt the same way with the Bunny and Penelope Ford and Ty Conti and Anna Jay. They were feuding for 6 months and they kind of got away from each other for Ty Conti to face Britt Baker. And then they came back together and I was like, I thought we were done with this. And granted, they had a fantastic match last week that I really enjoyed. But at the same time, I'm ready for some of these things to feel a little bit tighter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I will also say that I feel like Cassidy versus Cole is now reaching its expiration date. I'd like that to be wrapped up with Orange Cassidy and Best Friends and the Disputed Era. I feel like that's reaching its conclusion too.
A little bit. I think it depends. I think it depends on a few things. Because there's an episode of Dynamite in a few weeks that's coming up that's in Cleveland. And I don't know if he's coming, but I think that's the Johnny Gargano show. I think Johnny Gargano joins Best Friends. I think that's who he aligns himself with, at which point you revitalize all this and you get Johnny Gargano versus Adam Cole at Revolution.
God.
Which, boom! talk about blowing me away. Yeah. That would be a match that you can steal the show with on any show that they're on. You know? I think that if that's the direction, you can hold this off and keep doing the Best Friends versus Elite and Paragon stuff until then. Yeah. Otherwise, I think I'm kind of ready for us to move on a little bit.
Yeah. But regardless, I thought this was a good episode of Rampage. 4 out of 5, I'd have given it.
Yep.
Good stuff all around. Solid. Solid little hour of wrestling, this one. But But before we get into, God, we've gone long, before we get into the rest of your Ultra Chats, we need to say thank you to some very special people. And those are our $25 and above pledge hammers on our Patreon page. On Patreon right now is the poll for WrestleTalk Extra, which is nearly finished. It's ending at like tomorrow morning. Last chance to get that in. We're going to be having the mailbag, I think, next week. So you can get on board with that. Got After Dark and Fan Quizlemania coming later this month. Whole bunch of stuff. Looking like the favorite right now for WrestleTalk Extra is Royal Rumble 04, the Forgotten Rumble. So that would be an interesting show for Ollie and Luke to review. But if you pledge at the $25 or above tier, you get your own custom wrestling nickname, and it gets read out on a show much like this one. So thank you to the cleaner, Kenny Shaw.
Gavin, Cash Money, Kashiwabara. Yeah.
Rob Steiner Recliner.
Yeah. NXT winning move, Steiner Recliner. Starbucks, Steven Costa. Yeah.
Yeah. Rue the Day, Rari O'Brien Kelly. Yeah.
The Knight Rider, Kit.
Yeah. Yeah. Hannah A, baby.
The Batsman, Nathan Batty. The Batsman.
The Batsman. Vito Ventura, Pet Detective.
Yeah. That's some good karma, good dharma. Yeah.
Yeah. Angelic, Angelo Mercado.
Yeah. And Michael Jensen Radio.
Yeah. Thank you very much, all of our pledge hammers. Last chance to get in your Ultra Chats at WrestleTalk.com/support. We're going to be reading out all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air, which is going to be very soon. Let's speed through these. Lightning speed, much like my SmackDown review today, or the news today, sorry. Shiva Wilding says, with Mickey's surprise appearance, do you think we'll see Gail Kim too? Her and Mickey could double team and eliminate everyone in the ring before Kim turns on James, setting up a one-on-one with Charlotte, legend versus legend, hashtag jam that jam. No.
I don't think any of that will happen. No. I would love to see Gail Kim in the Royal Rumble. I think that would be awesome. But Gail Kim and WWE have never really meshed. They kind of butt heads. So I don't know. Yeah, maybe, but I don't see it.
Never say never, but I don't think so. And definitely not the whole Gail Kim, Mickey James eliminating whatever Charlotte. Definitely not. Gail Kim might be there, but she'll get eliminated. Branson Foley says, hey guys, did you notice that Seth's knock was the old Shield theme? Also wanted to send Tempest some love because I'm currently in isolation fighting COVID. Feel better soon. Hashtag jam that jam. Feel better
soon. You too, Branson. Mm. You too. And yeah, we did.
Yes.
That was one of the actual funny moments on the show.
Great theme, that one. It's Cakey says, after Roman versus Brock, what happens to the Universal title picture on SmackDown? The repeated point is Roman has beaten everyone. Would it be smart for Lesnar to cost Roman? You have people who could challenge, but WWE don't see it. Cesaro, Nakamura. So who? I think Lesnar beats Reigns.
Hate that.
Yeah, I know. I hate it too, but he's gonna.
Hate that. God! I think he's gonna. It's been 7 years! How are we still talking about Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar?
I don't know. Oh, man. Oh God. Zoe Sung says, God, here we go. I don't know if I can do the voice and also the Pokedex voice in one. I don't know if that's possible.
An Italian Pokedex.
Yeah. Tony D'Angelo, pal, the mafioso Pokemon. This Pokemon ain't seen nothing, guy. Its signature move is sleeping with the fishes. This steel type is named after a reformed hockey player, too. Its ability is named Cement Shoes.
Reformed.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you, Zoe Sung, for always the Pokedex entries. We appreciate it. Moin Carnib says, do you guys think both Veer and Walter will be surprises in the Rumble this year? Also, do you guys think the eventual Roman versus Rock feud needs the title involved? Personally, I think it does, as the title fuels the Tribal Chief gimmick.
I'm going back and forth on that. I think yes. Depends how they book it. I think Veer could be a surprise in the Royal Rumble. I think they're trying to manufacture this hype around Veer. And I think that could be like, oh, it's Veer!
I could also see Walter being a surprise too. Now that he's going to be NXT full-time. Could totally see him in the Rumble as well. Tenraza says, last one, guys. Do you think they'll do the same for the Men's Rumble and announce a whole bunch of entrants? Also, Triple H by Ring of Honor, team up with AEW Impact and New Japan and use Regal Joe and others to build the brand. Do a third promotion on Prime TV. Hashtag please. That won't happen, but nice try.
I think there's a better chance of Hook winning the title than that happening.
Yeah, there legitimately is. Yeah.
But yeah, I think they'll probably announce a bunch of men's entrants, and I think it'll be dumb. I think they'll be like, hey, Hurricane's going to be in it. And we'll be like, why did you tell me that?
I mean, they're already announcing quite a few with Knoxville and the Mysterios, Sheamus, Street Profits. Yeah. There's a few others that have already, you know, announced themselves. Hannah Allen says, Rampage is fire. Cole is so over, he's earned it, and I love it. Ladies tag, sometimes these things feel underdeveloped. Hook is freaking killing it. Dude is amazeballs. Heart fans, Santana, Ortiz, and Kingston, chef's kiss. Another great Rampage. Hashtag LIW444life. Thank you, Hannah. Matthew Robinson said, wow, Hook is amazing. I'm loving his story so far, and his matches are amazing. Also, loved the Hangman winning when no one expected it since it was not close to the 1 hour mark. It's really good.
Agreed. Very good match. Great match. Love that match.
Yeah. Nathan Barnes says, Hook is legit my favorite thing in wrestling at the moment. I really buy into him as an extremely talented mute, and I kind of hope they never have him talk. He gives me big red vibes from Generation 1 and 2 of Pokemon.
He's standing at the mountaintop, turns around, it's just dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, dot, dot, dot. And then they just fight. It's perfect. Punk Rocks and Soda says, you know, Tempest the Pete, if I recall, I said a couple weeks ago that Hook is a future world champion, and I was guffawed at. I expect my royalties in the mail.
Yes. I don't recall, but I apologize. He should be a present world champion. Put the title on him today.
I remember guffawing because we were like, it's too early. He's had one match. But now he's had three matches.
Now he's had three. That's three times as many matches.
Triple the matches, guys. Come on. Brian Moore says, I hope you're okay, Tempest, with COVID. I'm right there with you. Here's my hot take. AEW is a dream company where wrestlers can prove themselves against the best. WWE is a retirement company where wrestlers can get paid a lot for comedy skits and short matches.
Feel like that's a bit of an overgeneralization, but I think for you're sure. pretty much on the money.
Mostly correct, but yes, an overgeneralization for sure. Dry chicken without flavor. What terrible username. Says, if AEW does not re-sign Private Party and WWE quickly picks them, they will be the hottest act on NXT 2.0 and AEW's biggest regret. I see star power in Private Party that can rival the Street Profits. Stop pushing stale-breaded tag teams, Young Bucks.
Okay.
I
get out of here with this.
Yeah.
You're dried chicken without flavor. That message didn't have any flavor. That's some bad taste.
I mean, if Private Party are going to be the hottest act on 2.0, oh no.
No, they're going to be Hit Row. And what happened? You know, you put someone with a lot of charisma on
charisma?
A show. Charisma? Yeah. You give them the tag titles, perhaps? What's going to happen, guys? I'm not giving anybody in NXT 2.0 a chance anymore. They don't deserve it.
No.
Not the people, the show. Also,
the company. Indeed.
The Young Bucks are not getting pushed. And also, they're like the best tag team in the world.
They're really good, yeah. Tenraza says, after having some Japanese imported beer and whiskey, I am in full Japanese wrestling mode. Tempest, the drink of the dome next year. Love the Kingdom shows and it sparked my love in wrestling again. Okada Takagi, wow. House of Torture, F off. Hashtag L-I-J for life. Not even L-I-W,
I mean, that's
it's
not
L-I-J.
Us, but...
Yeah. What the hell, man? That's... stealing our thing.
Yeah, how dare they? How dare?
Yeah, we didn't steal anyone's thing. Did.
Yeah.
So on the NXT podcast, Tempest, if you recall, we spoke about wrestling foods and what feasts we could make with things that are wrestling terms that also have food in them. And we asked people for some emails. And boy howdy, did we get some emails. We've got a great one here from Nick Smith that I can't believe we missed this one. Sliced bread. You know, it's just a thing. There. That's just sliced bread, right? Oh, thank you, Nick. I can't believe we missed that one. We've got a whole bunch of them from Misha. Firstly, chicken wing, which I'm pretty sure we mentioned, right?
I think that basically kicked off the conversation.
T-bone suplex.
Mm-hmm. That's a good
Clumps,
one.
Yeah. T-bone. Yeah. I can't believe we didn't get this one. A flapjack.
Yeah.
That's just a food straight up.
It's just a food.
It's just a food. This is what it says, the octopus hold. Uh-huh. Some calamari, you know?
Yeah. I like calamari. I think that's squid, but you know.
There's some other ones. So there's just like names of wrestlers. So like Curry Man, which is just like,
you know, cheeseburger.
Yeah, cheeseburger. Have him in there as well. There's also Bubblegum, who's the indie wrestler in the UK. Yeah, Candy Floss, exactly. Then there's other ones. Calf Crusher, which is a bit sinister. You just take some cows.
I just want to eat calf. No, it's not the veal crusher.
No, that's true.
Just taking a baby cow and just sinking your teeth into it.
Yep, it's perfect. followed by cattle mutilation.
Listen, if I asked for like different foods and someone just said cow, I'd be like, I don't know about that. Cow is not a food. Beef or steak or whatever is the food.
Exactly, yeah. There's also stretch plum, apparently, and it says shout out to Tai Chi. I don't know if that's the thing. I don't know if that's what Tai Chi does.
Shout out to Tai Chi. I really hated that guy once.
I thought you still did.
No, he's all right.
Yeah, right.
He's all right.
I seem to remember you giving it a very passionate speech about how everything gets worse with Tai Chi in it.
Yeah, but then he got better. And I was like, because I remember, like one of the first conversations I ever had with my former like real life tag team partner, we were talking about New Japan and we were getting to know each other and everything. And he was just like, oh man, like every wrestler in New Japan is just so awesome. And I was just like, not Tai Chi. Tai Chi sucks. And then it was like, maybe a year later, it was like after that year's G1, I was like, I think I kind of like Tai Chi now. And he was like, what? How is this possible? Sure enough, like, I don't know, man, he started trying. And as soon as he started doing that, like, the matches were really good. And I was like, oh, this kind of kills my gimmick of hating Tai Chi, but oh well.
I don't know if you're allowed to change your mind tempers because you're a YouTube influencer and reviewer. You can't change your mind about anything. That's just
you're
the rules.
You're never allowed to change your mind about anything. That is the rule.
Yeah. Also another one from Misha here that says fisherman's suplex. Put seafood on the table. I feel like that's a profession rather than a food.
You have to eat the fisherman. Fisherman is the food.
There's also one. They mentioned that Chocobo Sage in the YouTube comments when we were first talking about it had one, sliced bread, which we mentioned. Two, gin and juice.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
I like that. It's not bad. Yeah.
I've got the best one, though. You ready for this? What's that? This is also apparently from Chocobo Sage. The best food? Cheeky Nando's.
Oh, of course.
It's just actual
the
food.
Nando's kick. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, the Cheeky Nando's.
Yeah. Thank you for the email, Misha. And just trying to see if there's one more. There's one more from Brett that said the awful waffle, which is apparently Chuck Taylor's finisher. Yeah,
that's true.
Take it. I don't know if I want an awful one.
No,
a good,
I prefer
a good
waffle
would be nice. Yeah. Also, if we're fancying a bit of tiger, we could have a tiger driver or a tiger suplex to go with the fresh camel meat in the camel clutch.
I think eating tiger would be frowned upon just
maybe
about everywhere.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sure that you can do it somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I feel like you would be looked down upon. Like, oh, look at this asshole eating an endangered tiger.
Who says it's endangered? It's fine. We're just...
Are they? I feel like most tigers are endangered.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know.
On that,
it's been a while.
On that same front of suplexes, can you eat butterfly?
I mean, you can eat crickets and stuff, so I would imagine. I have eaten crickets. Butterfly? I have eaten crickets. I was in a sociology of food class in university, and I thought it was just going to be like an easy course, and I needed it to graduate. And they just like passed out a little package of like, you know, of crickets. They're just like dried crickets that you could sell at like a you know, food store or whatever. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, I'll try it. And I took a few. They're fine. Kind of dry, but I wouldn't have it again, but they were just like, yeah, you can like put these in your protein shake. And it's like, you know, you're not going to taste them, but more protein. I was like, all right,
more protein in the protein shake. That's what you need.
Yeah. Proteinception. Protein on protein.
Yeah. That always works. And there's definitely no limit to how much protein you can have. More protein is always just better. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Anyway, on that note, I think that's going to do it for this episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Appreciate it. We'll be back next week. Normal schedule. We're going to have all the shows back to normal. Like Luke and Ollie will be doing the Raw. Me and Tempest back for NXT. Luke and Ollie for AEW. Got the Team Danuk show on Friday. Me and Tempest back on Saturday. Everybody's happy apart from us. But that's okay. You know, that's fine. I don't
care. We get to talk about Rampage for half a show. It's fine.
We get to talk about Rampage. That's something. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, everyone. Really do appreciate it. Stay safe out there. We love you very much. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.